Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning and welcome to Hour 3 across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I am Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, November 14th, and we are about 6 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us on our first show. I am joined, as I was the previous 2 hours, by our board operator, our engineer, our producer, and announcer extraordinaire, Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You know, I stumbled into one of these production booths a few years back, and it's kind of like a boomerang. I find myself back in here pretty frequently.
You're just so darn good at it. You're like a Swiss Army knife. You have all these different tools at your disposal.
And I have to thank Brian Kelly, because I've definitely learned from him to be able to be kind of, he's like the original version of the Swiss Army knife around here. Mm. And then I've just watched him and helped along so that we can be able to do things like create a brand new programming streaming across brand new radio stations that we have in Richland Center, in Amory, in Wausau, and it's a beautiful thing when we're able to do what we're doing here at Civic Media, and I'm glad I can play a part.
Well, thanks, Luke. We appreciate that. We appreciate having you here, and you said it well. When I was deciding kind of like whether I wanted to get back into radio and whether I wanted to take this gig, I talked to my old friend Phil Nee back at WRCO, who I've known for 36 years. I'm like, I don't know, Phil. I don't know if I can still do it. I don't know if I should do it. And he said, well, Todd, you know what they say. You never forget your first love, and radio was your first love. I said, yeah, that's right. But does she want me? That's the question. But as it turns out, here I am, and we appreciate you being along. Our regular producer, Aaron Zamarama, is down today. He'll be back with us hopefully tomorrow if he's feeling a little bit better. Also, a shout out to one of our other fine producers, Evan Preston, who got married over the weekend. Congratulations on the nuptials to Evan and his lovely bride. And speaking of other lovely brides, the host of As Goes Wisconsin on WAUK, based out of Waukesha, and also follows this program at 11 o'clock, Chris Bry is vacationing as well. She is on her honeymoon. She got married earlier in the fall. And Luke pointed out, thank you, Luke. I'm still learning everybody's names. It looks like I pronounced it Bray, and I had a teacher in high school. Her name is Mrs. Bray, and so it's not Todd. It's Bry. Like she's as bright as the sky. So a good way to remember that. But she tweeted out, according to Luke, over the weekend, in order to watch the Packer game where she is vacationing at, she had to go to a quote a subpar Hooters. And Hooters is bad enough, but you get a subpar Hooters. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, she's down in the Caribbean, and so if that's what she had to do to watch the Packers beat the Cowboys, I could say that I'd go through the same experience if I was trying to watch the game down there as well.
A story for another day, but when you're in politics, like I was for so many years, when your party or your boss is in power, you have a job, and when they're not, you don't, and you have to go do other things. So I have all these different jobs over the course of my career, and one of them was I was the general manager here in Madison for the Tilted Kilt, which is like an upscale Hooters, and they don't like you to say that, but that's essentially what it is. So you know, it was fascinating being the manager for the Tilted Kilt. More stories on that in a future broadcast, but it was not subpar. I will tell you that. I used to do the interviews. You had to interview these girls, you know, and at the time I wasn't out, and so you know, after I came out, I told my old boss John Call. I said I was the safest person you could have had being your general manager at the Tilted Kilt, because I had no interest, you know. So they were all safe. It was all good. Your headlines. What do you need to know this morning on a Monday morning, November 14th, 2022? Sad news this morning, as being reported by Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Brett Moss, the running back who helped Racine Park to the WIAA Division I state title in 1988 and helped the Badgers win the 94 Rose Bowl, passed away yesterday. He was only 50 years old. Moss was the MVP of the 1994 Rose Bowl. There are some good news, there is some good news, in races around the country in terms of some Republicans doing a little bit of the right thing. Doug Mastriano, the Republican candidate for governor in Pennsylvania, ended up conceding the race over the weekend, saying, quote, there is no right choice but to concede, which I do, and look to the challenges ahead. He was defeated by Democrat Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, and of course, John Fetterman defeated the outrageous Dr. Oz for the United States Senate. That was a flip from blue to red, which means, pardon me, from red to blue, which means that the Democrats will at worst have a 50-50 majority with Vice President Kamala Harris breaking the tie, unless the Georgia runoff on December 6th can also be won by the Democrat Raphael Warnock as he goes up against Herschel Walker, the Republican, in that special runoff in December. Also, Secretary of State Doug LaFollette here in Wisconsin has not yet been declared the winner, although he leads his Republican opponent, Amy Loudenbeck, by a vote total of 7,660 votes. That is what Doug is hanging on to. And if he goes on to victory, he would join Democrats Tony Evers in the governor's office and Attorney General Josh Call in the Attorney General's office as winners for the Democrats. On the Republican side, Ron Johnson, reelected to the United States Senate, and John Lieberhammer. No, just Lieber. I don't know. I made that up. John Lieber is Republican, who will be your next state treasurer. Sports news, as we mentioned briefly here, the Packers got an OT victory over the Dallas Cowboys on a Mason Crosby kick to lead the Packers to victory, and the Badgers over the weekend lost to Iowa 24-10. That is what we know. When we come back, give us a call. Talk to us. 715-388-7155. Again, 715-288-7155. More from the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network via the streaming app. Perhaps, if you downloaded it, go to your favorite app store on your smartphone, dial up Civic Media. You can download that for free. It's quick and easy. Then go to other stations and scroll down to WRCE News in the center. Click on that, and you will have us live wherever you want each and every morning between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Or if you're in the beautiful burg of Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, up in the middle part of the state in Wausau, or over in Amory, not too far from the Twin Cities, you could dial us in over the air on WRCE, WXCO, and WXCE, respectively. And we appreciate each and every one of you for listening in. We've been talking this morning about unity, about are we able to even get to some sort of unity? How do we work together? Interested in your take. You could just call in and say, Todd, you're full of it. or you could call in and say, I think that it's impossible. Or you could say, I think it is possible. Give us your opinion on unity. Are there things in your community you think work? Are there things in your community that don't work? Give us a ring-a-ling, and you can dial us at 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. We welcome your calls and welcome back. One of the things that I've found helpful every once in a while is something called reading, picking up a book and reading, and not just scrolling through my smartphone and looking at stuff there. But I'm a fan of paper. I'm a fan of something tangible in my hands. And if you're with me in the first hour, I got my start at WRCO in Richland Center, and we were a CBS affiliate back then, so kind of a lifelong CBS fan. The longtime anchor of the CBS Evening News, and he also had some radio casts, Reporter's Notebook and the like, Dan Rather wrote a book last year called What Unites Us? Reflections on Patriotism. And I'm not quite all the way through, but it's a wonderful group of essays in which Rather kind of reflects back on his life and also his observation as a reporter and an anchor across this country. And he saw things from the civil rights movements up until today and has a great and unique perspective on what unites us. So he wrote this book called What Unites Us. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs out of this because I think it sets up our next segment when we're going to have Luke and I's boss, Sage Weil, the CEO of Civic Media in. And it is a fascinating story. He's a modest guy. He's a humble guy. But I'm so thankful he agreed to come on the program and talk a little bit, which he doesn't do often. But I want him to tell his story. I want him to tell what it was that prompted him. I want you to hear it firsthand to, along with Mike Crute, start Civic Media. And I think in getting to know him the last 3 weeks or so, I hope he would agree that this is part of it. In Rather's book, there is a chapter called Inclusion. And here's just a little bit from Dan Rather's What Unites Us. He writes, we often hear about how we'd need to be more tolerant to make room for people, ideas, and actions with which we may not agree. This is a prerequisite for a functional democracy. But tolerance alone is not sufficient. It allows us to accept others without engaging with them, to feel smug and self-satisfied without challenging the boundaries within which too many of us live. A society worthy of our ideals would be a much more inclusive one, a more integrated one. It would be a place where we continually strive to create a better whole out of our many separate parts. This is a set sentiment that itself stretches back to our founding. Our first national model was E Pluribus Unum, from many, one. From many states, we are one nation. And from many peoples, we should be one society. Under this framework, building tolerance is a worthy way station to a much grander destination of inclusion. This is a journey that is in our power as a nation to make. I know this to be true because a journey of intolerance to tolerance to inclusion is one of the many that I myself have made. And then Dan Rather finishes up in this chapter on inclusion in his book called What Unites Us. Dan Rather writes, our own history has shown that we are stronger as a mosaic than a melting pot. Our nation is bound together more by ideals than by blood or land, and inclusion is in our cultural DNA. We should feel proud that we are not all the same and that we can share our differences under the common umbrella of humanity. To do so, we must confront the voices of intolerance and come to terms with our own complicity in condoning the divisions in our society. We have seen the progress. We have seen that progress is possible within ourselves and the nation at large, but it requires perseverance, hard work, and a commitment to respect the dignity of all who call America home. Dan Rather from his book, What Unites Us. I love that writing. I love that piece because it isn't a blanket or a whitewash of our history to say that, you know, everything's roses and rose-colored glasses, and everything's happy-go-lucky. It's talking about that we have to confront those things as a society, as a country, that we've done wrong. And there have been things we've gotten wrong. First and foremost amongst them, slavery from the very beginning. And it goes on from there. Women not having the right to vote. The list is wide and long. And we have to recognize those. And we have to confront those. But then we have to move forward into what things draw us together in commonality. And one of the great things about this company that has launched this year that you are now listening to, Civic Media, is that mosaic of having hosts, having guests, having programs that call out those atrocities, that call out those indifferences, that call out those wrongs that we have done as a society and a government over the course of our 100 plus years of existence. But then also focus on how can we bring each other together. And radio and now electronic media is so powerful when it's done the right way. And the fact that we could go into communities like Amory and Wausau and Richland Center and Oshkosh and Waukesha and Madison in Wisconsin Rapids, and soon to be in Green Bay and Hayward, and there are probably others on the docket, that we could go in and have discussions, have people like Kira Sabin on, have shows like Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian in the afternoon, have Devil Advocate Radio on, have As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, have the Earl Ingram Show, have Matt Flynn, have a Jason Show with Buy Local, lifting up local businesses in our communities, and many others. The fact that we can have those programs that are focused on Wisconsin, that are focused on our communities, that just excites me. That just makes me happy. And that's why I'm so thrilled to be here. And this morning's show might not be the, you know, oh, Todd's going to tell us all the dirty secrets of the Republicans that you would hope for. There will be mornings like that, I promise you. There will be secrets shared. And not like, I'm not looking to get back at anyone, right? I was very fortunate to work for Dale Schultz, a former state senator, Republican, and Scott Klug, a former Republican in the U.S. House of Representatives. I was fortunate to work for people who listened to their constituents. Dale was the only Republican senator to vote against Scott Walker's Act 10 demolishing public unions in the state. He single-handedly stopped, for a while, the atrocities that were the mining bills in northern Wisconsin. He voted against many of the voter ID bills that came up. He stood up to his party when it counted. Scott Klug, back in 1994, as a Republican, was one of the few Republicans that voted in favor of Bill Clinton's assault weapons ban and helped pass that piece of legislation. He was also a pro-choice Republican. Imagine that in the world today. A Republican who took a firm stand and voted for pro-choice issues back in the 90s and was reelected with 70% of the vote. So I was very fortunate for the people that I worked for. And I want to lift people like that up. But there's also a part of my former party that was really terrible. And Stuart Stevens wrote a book called It Was All a Lie. And going back to the fact that when the Republican Party changed was really kind of after the Civil Rights Movement. People forget that while Lyndon Johnson, a Democratic president, signed the civil rights laws into law, the bills into law, it was Republican Congress that delivered that to him. Because at the time, many of the Southern Democrats were against it. But little by little, the party began to see that if they didn't adopt these ridiculous stances, they were going to lose their base. And they could see that the electorate was changing, even back in the late 70s and early 60s. Late 60s, early 70s. And so little by little, these bills, these policies that excluded people, that made certain people the villain. Scott Jensen, former assembly speaker of the assembly, in 1994, became assembly speaker for the Republicans. First time a Republican had been that chair in forever. And he was a master at campaigning. He really was. Whether you agreed with him or not, he was a master. And Jensen used to tell people, in every political campaign, there has to be a villain and there has to be a hero. Because that's powerful. People want to either vote against a villain or for a hero. And you look at what's happening today, and I've been into those rooms. I can tell you, you look at what Gen Z did in this election. You look at what women did in this election. The Republicans have known this is coming for a long time, and they're scared crapless. And they know they can't win on the ballot in a general election. So they have to change the laws. They have to gerrymander and choose their voters instead of voters choosing them. They have to go and exclude people and create villains in order to get reelected. They have to change the rules of the game with voter IDs to get reelected, because the future is coming, folks. Gen Z is the future. Women in this country are our future. At some point, me, a white dude, is going to be a minority in my lifetime. You can't stop that. And the power of the vote is real, and that's why Tony Evers got reelected. That's why Josh Call got reelected. That is why Democrats are going to stay in control of the U.S. Senate. And that excites the crap out of me. Also exciting the crap out of me is, I probably shouldn't have said that because my boss is standing outside the door, Sage Weil, the CEO of Civic Media, is an exciting guy. He's going to share his story of this great company with you, the listener. You're listening to the Todd Allbull Show. Welcome back. You are listening to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where the time is 10:33 on a Monday morning. We appreciate all of you being with us via the Civic Media app or on terrestrial radio. That's over the air on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in beautiful Wausau, or on WXCE in Amory, Wisconsin. Some updates coming across the wire at this hour. Breaking news and very tragic. First of all, I will tell you that a suspect is in custody now, according to CBS News, after three University of Virginia football players were fatally shot. So again, it appears that they were football players at the University of Virginia that were shot. A suspect is now in custody, and very tragic for all of us here in Wisconsin. According to reports, former Badger wide receiver Devin Chandler was among the three football players that were killed at the University of Virginia shooting, according to the University of Virginia Athletic Department, or University of Virginia president, confirming now former Badger wide receiver Devin Chandler, one of the three people killed at the University of Virginia yesterday during that shooting. So, the nonsense continues, and that will be for another day and another show on gun control. But our thoughts, our prayers, and our vibes are going out to the families and the friends of those players killed and the entire University of Virginia football family. Speaking of family, as we continue onward and upward, it really is, as Luke and I were talking earlier, Luke Mathers, our fine producer, engineer today, and host, by the way, of Dueling Tangents, coming up at 2:00. Luke's show is going to be so good this afternoon, because he's had like all morning be up and prepared. It's going to be even more spectacular than it usually is. Luke Mathers is with us this morning.
Sure. Thanks for setting a high bar again, Todd. Now I can't really phone it in. I got to be prepared now.
Yeah, you will be. Well, we thank you. I said this earlier. I've been here about 3 weeks, and at Civic Media, the thing that has struck me, one of the things that struck me, is how cool everybody is. I don't know how you and Crudy like pulled everybody together and made this cool team. But like, there's no jerks on this team. Like everybody is super cool and they're good at what they do. And it's very much like, hey, I can help you out. Like, there's no job too big or too small. And so the guy who is at the head of all this is our CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil. We welcome you to the Todd Allbull Show, to your network. How are you this morning, Sage?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Sweet.
Good to be here, yeah.
It's great to have you. And you don't do a lot of interviews, so I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. How long has the company actually been a thing?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we incorporated in May, but we really got rolling in July for Civic Media proper. But before that, Crute and I collaborated on the WAUK station. That launched in January, and yeah.
So, less than a year.
We went from two stations to, at the end of this month, we should be at 13 in about 6 months.
0 to 60 in 6 months. I mean, that's, for people who don't work in media or radio, that's like almost unheard of. So I got a call because when you guys bought WRCO, my old station in Richland Center, and Crudy was up there, and he had my old boss, Dale Schultz, on as a guest. And afterward, he's like, Dale, would you be interested in maybe doing a political show for us weekly? And I'll clean it up for morning radio. But Dale goes, no, I'm retired. I don't have time for that crap. But the guy you should talk to is Todd Lobo. And so Creedy called me, and he's like, dude, you worked in radio? And I'm like, yeah, for like 17 years at RCO. Because we knew each other when I was Dale's chief of staff and communication guy. Mm-hmm. He would call, Creedy would for to get interviews with Dale. So we knew each other, but like we never like had a beer or anything like that. And so we just started talking, and he started telling me about this, and hey, would you be interested in a gig? And it got to the point where he invited me in for an interview with him and you. And I tell you, I like to be prepared. So like I got online and I started Googling you, and I started looking.
Where's your first?
And I'm like, who the heck is this guy? Like, he's mysterious, right? So peel off the mystery a little bit, because my main reason for having you on this morning stage is, one, just to kind of people know your story, because I think it's a really cool story, but also what your intentions are. Because mm-hmm. having come from Richland Center, and you know this now, that people at Richland Center, they love WRCO and now WRCE on the AM side. It is integral to their community. Mm-hmm. And when you hear, in today's world, a company coming in and buying our station, you panic because you think, there it goes.
And so,
but let's just start, if you'd be so kind.
Well, that's usually what happens.
Tell us a little bit about where you come from and what you've done.
Well, you want me to go all the way back, or you want me to start here in Wisconsin?
No, let's go. You come from California.
Oregon, actually. I grew up
Oregon.
I was born in Southern Oregon. My parents lived on a farm. They were a part of the, is it called Back to Nature, I think it was called, in the 70s.
Okay, where they were right.
Cut down their own trees, built their own house.
Granola, the whole works.
Yeah, the whole thing. Southern Oregon, when my parents divorced, my father lived in Northern California in Humboldt County. So I split my time between those two places. But I went to college in east of Los Angeles, the Claremont Colleges, Harvey Mudd. It was engineering, computer science. I studied computer science. So I'm a software developer, software engineer, whatever. I've done a series of startups doing software for, I guess, my entire career up until now. Yeah. And somehow through all of that, I guess the through line that I like identified is that they all seem to focus around, have this aspect of community building as part of them that certainly wasn't consciously intentional, but I don't know, maybe it was unconscious, who knows. my most recent venture was like the last 15, 17 years was an open source project for data storage. And a big component of open source software where you're basically getting people to contribute to collaboratively across multiple organizations, companies, commercials, non-commercial, collaboratively working on the same software project, is building community and getting people, you know, understanding all the stakeholders and getting people their interests aligned and coordinating those efforts and so on. So
let me interrupt for a second, just for goofballs like me who are not IT geeks, and those people who are listening, they're hearing this phrase open source.
Open source.
You're like, so he's a computer guy. In layman's terms, that people actually, he's a dude from the West Coast, computer guy. Explain for our listeners, just for a moment, what open source means. Right. What is that?
So all computer software has source code. That's where you actually type out the commands or whatever that describe what the software is supposed to do. Most software that's produced is commercial, which means there's a company that owns the copyright for that source code. It's secret, and so you don't actually know. You can like run the program and you can see what it does, but you don't really know what's happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You just can see what's on the screen. Open source is sort of the flip side of that, where the source code is available to everyone, and it's usually accompanied by a license that says that as a user of the software, you have a right to see the source code to the software that you're running. So if you have an iPhone is not open source, that's a bad example. Maybe an Android phone, mm-hmm. like you actually are entitled to look at the source code of everything that's running as part of the operating system so you can see what is happening behind the scenes.
So it's kind
that's
of,
open source.
It's kind of keeping the blinds open, so to speak, so that people can see and know what's going on.
Transparency and the ability to audit, and most importantly, the ability to take something and you're like, oh, this is almost what I need, but I need to, if I just change this one thing, it could be actually meet my needs, and you have the right to access that source code to change it, to make it do what you want to do.
So it's kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like cool IT and software with the public good in mind.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And you didn't just go to college. You have a doctorate. You have a PhD.
I have a PhD, yes. I went to UC Santa Cruz for my graduate mm-hmm. degree, yes. And in fact, that was where I got involved with a research group that developed the software that became, it's called Ceph, distributed source software that we worked on for the last 15, 20 years.
And you built and sold how many companies? Roughly.
Yeah, three, I guess.
Yeah. Started from scratch and then sold them. Yeah. And, you know, we'll just simply say you were very successful.
Yes.
Yeah. You did well.
Yeah, despite myself.
Something happened in 2020. You got involved with the project. Tell our folks about that.
Yeah, so I went to college. One of the people I went to college with, Deborah Cleaver, has been doing C3 voting organizations for like the last 15 years, starting with something called Long Distance Voter back in like the early 2000s. This idea that people should sign up to vote absentee because it's easier, and also if you're going to college or something, you can still vote. So there's... Anyway, she's been doing that. She did vote.org. Now she's at an organization called Vote America. In 2020, I felt like I couldn't just shout at the walls about what was happening in this country politically. I had to actually get involved and actually be doing something instead of just like donating to organizations. And so I took a leave of absence from my job at Red Hat and worked with Deborah at Vote America for the year. And that was fantastic. It was being back in a small organization with everybody just like doing everything that they could. Very high degree of alignment on vision and motivation and all the rest, and none of the bureaucracy of a large organization. So it was a lot of fun. And then after 2020, coming back to work, it just wasn't the same, right? Having just had that experience.
Yeah.
And it was finally at the point, I mean, the thing with the open source project is you have to have enough community, enough momentum behind the project. My goal for that project is always like get it to the point where I could step away and have it continue to succeed without my efforts. Mm-hmm. And it became clear after having just taken a leave of absence that I had met that threshold. And so sort of gracefully made an exit at the end of last year and started looking for something new to do. That was around the time when I met Mike Crute and helped him put together the second station, WAUK in Waukesha. And so that was going pretty well. But I was looking at all kinds of other things, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, basically, at this point.
So what was the turning point? Because this is what I love.
Yeah. there was a realization that radio is a very important part of the media ecosystem. It's neglected by the corporate community. The fear, right, is that somebody's going to come and buy a radio station and they're going to destroy it. Maybe that's a little bit hyperbolic, but when you have the large media companies come in and buy small stations, they usually strip away most of the staff. They get rid of most of the local talent because it's so much cheaper to program it with content coming from wherever else. They can still sell almost as many ads, presumably, or more probably with the sales staff or whatever. But it strips away one of the few remaining sources of local news and local coverage in a lot of areas where, you know, local news deserts are a real problem. So it's something that's important from that perspective. It's also important from a political perspective when you have the presence of right-wing talk radio that is a huge source of misinformation and disinformation in our communities and has a demonstrable impact. It's no accident that Ron Johnson spends however many days out of a year calling into local talk radio shows around the state. That's a key part of his sort of base of support within the state. So anyway, it felt like somebody needed to be investing in radio in Wisconsin, and I kept waiting for somebody else to do it, and nobody else was doing it. I was like, all right, well then, I guess we should do it.
I'm gonna paraphrase your line from when Crute interviewed you on his show back in August, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. And when I heard this, I'm like, oh, I want to work for that guy. And you said, correct me if I'm wrong, you said, you know, I felt like I was kind of in the right place at the right time. I got a little bit lucky, but I worked hard. I did okay with business. That's an understatement. And you said, I got to the point in my life where I didn't really want or needed a different house. My kids were set. And the only thing, no matter how much more successful I was, the only thing that changed in my life were the zeros in my bank account. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Right. That's right. Yep.
And so you had this, I'll call it an epiphany, after working for Vote America, that you just like, you wanted to, I mean, there are so many people in your situation, Sage, that buy a jet, buy houses in Europe, do other things, but you felt, correct me if this is overstating, call me out, almost a calling in your own way to take your success, your wealth, and invest it in communities in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dramatic way to put it. And it's...
Is it fair?
It's fair, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm always uncomfortable talking about these sorts of things, but I think that's actually... a key problem. Like it's politics, money, and religion. You're like not supposed to talk about it by company, but those are actually like the most important things to talk about, like in the world.
And we're going to talk more about it. Can you stay with us for one more segment?
Of course.
He's a humble guy, but he's a great guy. And I wanted to get that out there so you know a little bit more about Sage Weil. He'll be back more on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. To the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's Dead Man Fall and Bang Your Drum. It's a great song. I first saw it on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. It's a great song. It just gets to the point where do not give up. Keep banging on your drum every day because things will change. And for so long across this state, I think a lot of people felt like there's nobody that thinks like me. There's no way that our side can win and get our message out. There's always the talk radio of the conservatives. There's always Fox News. And we've talked about this morning how we have to try to get along with each other. But keep banging on your drum because at some point it's going to get through. And my guest this half hour is the CEO of Civic Media, Luke and I's boss, Sage Weil. And he was talking before the break about where he came from, Oregon, and then California, by way of California, and a software guy who did very well and came. So your wife is a surgeon at UW mm-hmm. Hospital.
Yes.
So why is that? What brought you here?
That's what brought us here. Yes. Yep. Yep. She interviewed here in Madison in the dead of winter because somebody told her she had to come interview. I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly what the story is, but she came back and she told me, I think we might need to move to Madison. All right.
How long ago?
7 years. That was 2016. Early 2016. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So here's I come in for my interview about a month ago with Sage and Mike Crute, our president of Civic Media, the other co-owner, and I said, I know Crute and I've read about you, Sage, but how the hell did you guys meet? I mean, how does this happen? Because I thought maybe they were college roommates, and no, it turns out that Crute and Dom were college roommates, and it's like, what's the story? So how did you guys meet?
We were on it was a donor call, and he basically gave a pitch. He was trying to find somebody to loan money to help buy the WAK radio station, and he gave this impassioned pitch about the importance of talk radio, blah blah blah, and I was like, yeah, sounds good.
That's it.
And that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
it. It sort of snowballed from there. Yeah.
Snowballed is an understatement. Yes. Like 6-8 months ago, and now here we are. So yes. I just, it's one of those things in life, right? We never know what's going to happen next.
Yes. Yep.
Serendipity, fate, whatever you want to call it. I mean, here you guys are. You meet and you click and you create this cool company, Civic Media, which we are on today. So you meet, you decide to do this, mm-hmm. and where did the vision come for this project?
Well, we started with Waukesha, and I think at some point it clicked for me that it was so much easier to run two stations or go from one station to two stations than it was to go from zero to one, because mm-hmm. you already have a whole schedule of programming that's content that's focused on Wisconsin.
Right.
And the assumption is that the third station, the fourth station, there's like all the efficiencies that you get from sharing technology, sharing platform, and then a lot of the programming is the same. And so I was like, well, we should just be doing this everywhere, right? Not across the whole state. So in April, we started sniffing around, built this like ridiculous spreadsheet of like every station in the state and who owns it and how many people it covers and what the current programming is and all the whatever. Yeah, we started calling people.
So in our interview when we sat down and talked about a month ago, I said I read an article by Tom Hartman, who is on our network, mm-hmm. The leading progressive talk radio guy in America. Country, yeah. And there's been this theory amongst niche Democrats or progressives across the country for a while, Bernie Sanders among them, that roughly about $2 billion with a B dollars get spent every 2 years on elections, whether it's TV or radio or digital or maybe print. About $2 billion amongst all Democratic donors to win races. And this theory was that you could take a fraction of that and actually invest and own stations in purple states to make a difference over the course of time.
Right. Because where does that $2 billion go? Right? All that money that you donate to political campaigns, most of that gets spent on media buys. That goes to the people who own the media. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then you think, like, who owns the TV stations and who owns the radio stations? And they definitely lean right.
Right. And I love listening to you guys that, again, correct me if I'm wrong, there's kind of a dual mission, if you will. In that, first and foremost, and I'm going to be a little bit complimentary to my home station, because Ron Fruit was on earlier, and he mm-hmm. said to your point, you made the point earlier in the last segment that some of these big companies come in and they make it all automated, they make more money. And I asked Ron Fruit, you know, about that, and he actually said the reason that he and Beth, the former owners of WRCO, didn't do that is mm-hmm. because they found it to be more profitable to focus on community because they sold more ads by getting the community involved. Mm-hmm. And so if I can be so bold, I'm going to, in a very broad brush, say one of the goals of civic media is to replicate what WRCO has done in Richland Center, being involved in community, and duplicate that across the state.
100%. Yes. I think, I mean, there are two strategies, right? You can like race at the bottom, you can cut costs, or you can, you know, build a premium product or whatever and try to build audience that way. And I think that there are still a lot of radio operators out there that are doing like real hometown radio. Mm-hmm. And they succeed because of those connections, that relationship that they build with the community by doing local coverage of local events, high school sports, mm-hmm. the real relationships they have with their advertisers that are doing that. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for, but it's strangely, it's not something that you see the corporate owners doing.
So I want people to understand that Avery, Wausau, that all these small towns, that civic media is not coming to make it corporate. It's just the opposite. Sage and Critty want to invest in community and make that whole. The other thing is, you know, is there some big agenda? I will tell you, as a former Republican, one of the things that Sage said, you know, to me in my interview was, one of the reasons I like you is you weren't a raging progressive all your life. You come from a different side. You kind of evolved over time. And in the entire conversation before I joined this organization, never once did either of you say, oh, here's what you have to talk about, Todd. Here's the agenda that we have. Mm-hmm. You know what? For people listening, the two things that Sage said to me and Crudy, tell the truth and do it with integrity. That's it. That's my only directive for this show. Mm-hmm. And that's so refreshing. And you know, so there's no secret agenda. It turns out in today's world, telling the truth happens to fall more on the Democrat side than the Republican.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm not going to say I don't have it. I mean, I have an agenda. And that agenda is to, like, increase civic engagement, get people better informed about the issues that affect their local communities on, like, a factual basis, what the actual policies are and who's voting for them and whether they actually help them or hurt them, and to bolster, like, Democratic institutions. Like, that's my agenda.
Here is the state of civic media. Our mission is to inform, delight, and entertain listeners with honest and engaging programming that advances the understanding of local, regional, and state issues in the communities we serve. Sage Weil, CEO, thank you. Not just personally for me, but as someone who is a native of the state, thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you for doing this, too. Well, we appreciate that you're here.
It is a team effort.
Looking forward to hearing more of your show.
Well, looking forward to hearing more of you. Democracy, my friends, is alive and well because of people like Sage Weil investing in our future. That's what we're going to do each and every morning. Be with us 8 until 11 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Todd Allball. Thanks for making a great show. Thanks to Luke Mathers. We'll see you tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network.